And a very good evening to one and all. I'm sure many of you have had interesting conversations and interactions during this recent Chinese New Year period. And maybe during this time, some of you may have observed how different we as Christians are from those friends and close ones and relatives that we have who are outside of Christ. And how we have very different views on many things. No doubt some of you may have talked about some of the issues which are part of the national conversation, right? Common topics such as the cost of living. Some of you may have talked about matters relating to education or perhaps marriage and childbearing. These are some of the favorite questions, asked by many during this New Year period. Some of you may have talked about careers, and maybe some of you have even talked about politics and whether there will be a general election this year. Almost every prayer meeting and worship service, we will say some items of prayer for our nation. And I think as we think about our nation, this is something that is important to all of us. It is important to the ministry of the church, ministry of the gospel. And I think one question that we do need to consider is, through what lens should we view the issues of our nation? And when we pray for Singapore, how should we pray for our nation? What do we really pray for with regard to our nation? The issue of Christians being involved in sort of politics and so forth is a lot bigger in the USA. Over there, there are people who fight very bitter battles of words and sometimes which turn physical. Over major issues such as abortion, LGBT, and so forth. And even in Singapore, we have seen, for example, some prominent leaders in our government who are Christians and how they have fallen due to political scandals and things like that. So I think this issue is quite close to our heart, and how, and we ask ourselves, as Christians, how should we pray that we may win our nation for the Lord? So I have actually taken some of these points from Pastor Phil Johnson. He's a pastor at Grace Community Church in California. I've adapted some points of what he has mentioned to our local context, right? And the first point that we'd like to raise this evening is that preaching rather than lobbying is how we're going to make the truth known in our country. Preaching, not politicking, is the main activity we are called to do in order to unleash God's truth into an ungodly society. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, right, we hear from Paul, the Apostle Paul. It says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Right? So over here, you have in contrast the wisdom of God versus the wisdom of the world, right? And these two are in opposition to one another very often. And how are we to win them, right? It is not through endless debating, it is not through protests and so forth, right? But through preaching, right? Worldly wisdom tells us that if we want the gospel to shine brightly in Singapore, we need to vote in more Christian political leaders who will bear a great testimony for God. We need to sign petitions to remove places of vice. We need to anchor our moral ground in court rulings, right? Fairly recently, we had, of course, the talk about 377A and how the government has now so-called enshrined marriage between man and woman in the constitution. But while these things are not wrong in and of themselves, right? It's not wrong to vote for a Christian leader. It is not wrong to sign a petition to remove a place of vice. It's not wrong to voice that we are not, in support of certain movements which are against the Bible. But we must remember that God uses the ministry of the church, right, to advance the gospel. So we are not going to win people over to Christ through all these means, but rather simple preaching, evangelism, common people like you and me being living examples for Christ. These are the things that are going to truly advance the gospel that the Lord is going to use to save people in our country. And most importantly of all, it depends on the sovereign will of God's election. and the Spirit's work in the hearts of men. So to win people for Christ by any other means is to build a house on sand, right? For example, you know that during the Roman Empire, when initially the Christians were heavily persecuted, right? And then when Emperor Constantine came to power, right, people said, wow, you know, now it's going to be a great thing. The emperor is now going to make Christendom the official religion. And if you thought that was going to usher in a golden age for the church, far from it. That was the beginning of a great apostasy of the church, and how many false doctrines and and teachings which led people far away from the true gospel of Christ came in. And in contrast, right, we have, for example, the first Great Awakening, which was fundamentally built upon sound preaching, upon an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and how people through that, right, really repented of their sins and came before the Lord, right? So not using worldly means, but preaching, testimonies of God's people, right? That's how we're going to win the nation for Christ. The second point is that the gospel, not the law, is what changes sinful hearts. We are told in Galatians chapter 2, verse 21, right? It says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. If by righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead. So as much as we, you know, do not pray that our society will become more sinful, but we must also remember that we will not be able to advance the kingdom of God through secular laws that force people to be more moral, right? Yes, it may avert some of the temporal consequences of sin. For example, sin that related to abortion, to LGBT and all these things, right? Sure, laws may prevent some of these things, but fundamentally, we must always remember that if the population themselves do not want the laws, then, and if the laws are there pushed by people who believe themselves to be more moral, then eventually it breeds resentment and eventually it will be washed away. So as much as some of you may think that, you know, oh, we are going to be safe because the government has enshrined marriage between men and women in the constitution, well, these are just very weak defenses. And they may well come, right? I pray it doesn't, but we must be prepared that the day may well come in the future, maybe 30, maybe 40, maybe 50 years from now, that even this will be eroded, right? As the world gets more and more sinful. If you look at, for example, the law of prohibition in the US, right? People talked about the vices of alcohol and the government said, okay, now we're going to ban alcohol, right? In the US. What did that accomplish? For a few years, they banned alcohol and people went to drink alcohol underground. And then it still came back in a big way in a few years after that. Gradually, it was reallowed in 1933. Right? It still swept through society. It still caused many problems. So what I'm trying to say is that the law, secular laws, are not going to necessarily cause people to come to Christ. It's not necessarily going to cause the nation to be more righteous, right? It's not going to cause God to reward Singapore simply because we have great secular laws. But rather, the gospel is what is going to transform people's hearts, right? And so when we engage with people, right, we need to engage with them with the gospel and let the Spirit of God transform their hearts. Because that's the only way we're going to really do battle against unrighteousness, not through lobbying and making more and more laws per se, secular laws, right? Because the world will generally get progressively more sinful as we await the second coming of Christ. The final one is that service rather than dominion is the most effective way to win people in any culture. If you look at Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 to 28, right? What did Jesus tell his disciples, right? Here, verse 25, Matthew chapter 20, verse 25. But Jesus called them unto him, these are his disciples, and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and that they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Here you can see how Christ says, we are not to seek greatness or influence or power in the kingdom of Christ, right, by the exercise of authority over other people, right? We're talking about governmental and legislative authority, right? So what you can see here is that rather than, for example, simply praying that, oh, a new great Christian leader will come to power and then they will, make the nation that makes Singapore do all that is right per se, right? How are we going to really reach people's hearts for God, right? It is actually through service. And so how we as Christians, how does the community view us, right? Does it view us as people who are there to serve, or rather, or do does it view us as people who are there to lobby and to have dominion over them, for example, right? So I think, as believers, we firmly know, and I think we certainly are in agreement, right, that the gospel is our main work, right? And we are to focus on the gospel. We are to focus on winning Singapore one soul at a time. And if anyone should look at Life Church, right, look at us as a church, they should see us as a church that seeks to serve those around us, right, rather than one that seeks to have that seeks to lobby, to have dominion over others, and so forth, right? So I hope that we will think about this. I think this year, it is likely that there'll be lots of political conversations. There'll be many things in which you'll engage with your friends, your colleagues, your relatives over many of the issues which pertain to our nation. And I think we hear of and are probably going to get a change of a leadership, right, within the PAP, for example, and so forth, right, this year. So as we think about all these issues, as we read the news and so forth, let us not just read it as secular observers or people who have a vested stake in the country per se, but rather let us think about how we may pray for the nation, pray that the Lord will advance His kingdom here in Singapore, and let us pray for this through the right lens. Let us do things in a manner that shows others that we are there to serve rather than their dominion, that we are there with concern for their souls rather than simply trying to lord over them. So Singapore is one soul at a time, God willing. Okay, thanks for listening to this short sharing.